All right, if you open your Bibles with us this evening to Matthew chapter 13, the 13th chapter of Matthew, this is our second week in this parables, the greatest stories ever told, as Christ is telling these stories and sharing things with us. And, of course, we're looking forward to this entire series of lessons. But here, the second of the series, I think as we have an opportunity to teach these lessons to our classes each week, from the junior high school all the way through the adult, you want to take some time, particularly early in this series, to maybe recap some things, remind people, remind folks about what the parables are and that Christ used them. A parable is a story that's cast alongside and has one great spiritual truth. It's not an allegory. You can't find in every detail, significance in every detail, but one great truth that Christ gives us in each of these stories. I think it's interesting to note that one-third of Christ's recorded teachings are found in the parables, so there's a great emphasis there. And then, of course, you find them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, as they're recorded in those three Gospels. As we open our Bible here to Matthew chapter 13, then we begin what's referred to as the kingdom parables. And this is the first of the kingdom parables, seven of them recorded for us in this one chapter of the Bible. And if you look in Matthew 13, in the 35th verse, look at the importance here that Christ places, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, I'm in the 35th verse, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Christ is saying, these things which have been kept secrets, the mysteries of the kingdom of the Lord, he gives to us in these parables. And it's so very important as we attempt and pray that we understand the work of Christ in the world today and the work of the church in our age, that we understand what Christ said to us in these kingdom parables. And that's what these lessons are intended to help us do. It'd be a great help to you. Teachers, as we're working, preparing these weeks, if you'll take the time to read all seven chapters of the book at one sitting and get that all done instead of just waiting each week to read them, but you get the overall picture. It just take you a few minutes, maybe an hour, to sit down and read them, but it'll be a great help, and you'll get the entire picture of all the parables together and as you teach them then from week to week. Matthew chapter 13, here we are this week in the first of these kingdom parables. Christ gives us the parable in the first nine verses, and then he clearly explains the parable beginning in verse 18. Christ has stepped out of a house here and by the seaside, probably the Sea of Galilee. Great multitude is following him. I guess you can picture that in your mind, how exciting those days must have been as those people are following Christ and the anticipation. But they gather around him there, and such a great multitude that he gets in a little boat, a little ship, and he pushes out from the shore and he sits down. And Matthew 13 says in verse 1, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Now notice verse 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You see where Christ places the emphasis here? Christ places the emphasis on who hath ears to hear, let him hear, placing the emphasis on the hearer. Often we place the emphasis on the speaker. You go to church service and you get church service over, people say, man, that was a great service. We had a great time. And invariably somebody asks, well, who preached? Well, who brought the message? Or what was the message about? But Christ says here, the question is, how did I receive it? The emphasis he places here as he opens these kingdom parables in this very first parable of the sower is he places the emphasis on the hearer, and that's where we're headed. And we'll see the application of this lesson as we talk about the sower. If you've asked God to forgive your sin, and many of the people you're teaching on Sunday will be Christians. They're professing Christians, have trusted Christ as a personal Savior. Lord willing, there will be some there that haven't trusted Christ as yet, and we'll be reaching them and giving them the gospel clearly. But if you've received Christ as your Savior, it is because you heard and received the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, God's Word says. And if fruit is produced in your Christian life, if fruit is produced in my Christian life, if I'm bearing fruit, if I'm the Christian that God has saved me to be, then it's because I'm applying the things from God's Word. And it's because I'm hearing God's Word and appropriating those things in my life. That's what Christ is talking about here. Now let's look here at this parable briefly in the short time we have here in this lesson preview, and then you be praying as you're preparing it for Sunday. Three things we see here clearly. Number one, we see the seed. The seed. Now, we've read the parable in the first nine verses. If you look over to verse 18 of the same chapter, Matthew 13, you see Christ giving us the explanation clearly. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Here we see the seed. When anyone heareth the word. And Christ here says the seed is simply the word of God. The word of God. You'll see the reference given there in your teaching material in 1 Peter chapter 18. Maybe a familiar passage of scripture for many of you. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. What corruptible things is Peter talking about here? As silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now skip ahead with me, please, to verse 23. I'm in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, God's word says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. What's this incorruptible seed? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Isn't that exciting? The seed, Christ says, is the word of God. This word of God that's incorruptible, which liveth and abideth forever. As Christ stepped out of that house and stepped into that ship and scooted out there from the shore, and he's teaching these people in parables, these great multitudes, he's giving his word. We say, yes, that's the word of God, because that's Jesus Christ himself speaking it. Well, we have it right here on Sunday when you stand before your class and you hold in your hands, you have the incorruptible seed, just as Christ gave it. The incorruptible, living Word of God we have, and it changes lives. That's the special thing about it. It's not just another book. It's the seed, and it's incorruptible. Isaiah 55, God prophesied, and he promised us that his word will not return void. It shall not return unto me void. That's what God says about his word. It's incorruptible seed. It changes lives. I'm thinking about a man that I heard give a public testimony many years ago. He said, at least at that time in his life, he was reading the Bible through every month. He told how he did, how much he read in the morning, how much he read in the afternoon, and each evening. It was just something that the Lord had impressed upon his heart. And he said the most amazing thing happened after just a few months of that. He says that as situation would come up in his life and things that he would encounter in his daily life, he said a Bible answer would come to his mind and Bible principles would come to his mind. Now, what was happening there? This man was saturating his life with God's Word. And God's Word is a living, vibrant thing. It's an incorruptible seed. And as he was doing that on a daily basis and saturating his life, then it was coming out in the way he lived. It's because it's alive. I went to school with a young man. He's serving the Lord faithfully today with a beautiful family in Brazil. He's a missionary. And his testimony is he got saved. He came out of a shopping mall one day, and on his automobile was a gospel tract. You've heard stories like this, no doubt. There's a gospel tract. And he read that tract and got saved. Now, how in the world did that happen? That's because God's Word is alive, and it's an incorruptible seed. Not only is it alive for the moment, but it's never fade away, never pass away. It's going to live forever. That's what Christ says here, the seed. And as the seed is sown, but that's the seed, God's Word. Secondly, we see the sower. In this parable, Jesus Christ is sowing the seed. The exciting thing about this is we can all enter into a partnership with Christ by giving out his word. Christ personally is telling these stories, these seven kingdom parables that were given in Matthew chapter 13 as he's speaking there from the ship. But we have a great opportunity day to day as we run across, as we see people and meet people and are working with people. And the people in our class need to be encouraged to make a commitment to hand out God's word, to testify of God's goodness in their life, to people they work with, to people they see at the grocery store, they're filling their tank. You know, today everybody, I'm thinking about as they go to the gas station, about everybody Many people, anyway, use the automatic payment right there at the gas pump. And often I'm standing there at the gas pump, and there's someone right on the other side waiting for their tank to be filled, waiting for their credit card receipt to come out there. And what an opportunity just to take a gospel track and share. Now, what happens when we do that? Well, we're the sower, and we're sowing that seed. The Bible says in Psalm, the 126th Psalm, verses 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And we sow the Word of God by preaching and by teaching and by giving a clear gospel witness to people and just testifying to people about what God's done in our life. You know, I think it's terrible for a Christian to say, man, I lucked out there. No. We need to give a clear Christian testimony. Man, the Lord really helped me with that. And that'll encourage people and help them. That's the sower. We see the seed and the sower. And then we see, finally, the soil. The soil. And four types of things here. You say, why doesn't everyone follow Christ faithfully? You're going to look out at your class on Sunday morning. You're going to look at all kinds of people there. Some of them very involved in the ministry and helping and just getting everything done they can. Some of them, you know, don't show up as frequently as they don't even attend church faithfully. You know, they're hit and miss on Sunday, and you have to stay after them, and you're calling them and working on them. And you say, how come if the Bible is true, and it is, and if there's a heaven to gain, and there is, and there's a hell to shun, and there is, and God's promises are true, and we have God's Word that's alive and it's incorruptible seed, and we can follow Christ's pattern, how come people don't just jump in? Why doesn't everyone follow Christ wholeheartedly? Well, Christ gives us the answer right here. He says, as he's giving this story, this parable, he says this seed fell upon four different types of soil. And these are the kinds of people that it comes across. Now, I don't think you can take this as a percentage that, you know, you share the gospel and 25% of the people get saved and get excited about serving the Lord or whatever, because that's not really how this parable is designed. Remember, one great truth, but Christ is saying not everyone is going to be faithfully following the Lord all the days of their life. Not all that multitude that was with Christ that day followed him faithfully. There was all of these kind of people represented there in that crowd. Who do you have? You have some that had no interest at all in what he said. You had some that had a casual interest, but it soon faded away. Some got real excited at first, but later turned back. And then, of course, you have some people that received his word, trusted him as their Savior, and really followed him faithfully and wholeheartedly. Look at these verses. Look in verse 19. Christ said the first is those who fall by the seed that fell by the wayside. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Hardened paths. Christ is speaking to the multitude, and he says, no doubt he points out to the grassy area that they had walked across, and as the crowds walked across the grassy area and beaten them down, he says, as the word goes out, as the seed is sown, some of it falls on ground like that hard path right there, and the seed lies there for a moment, lies there for a little bit, but the ground is hard, it's calloused, it's hardened over, and the seed cannot take root, and eventually the birds come, the wind comes and blows away, or the birds come and eat the seed up. And he says some seeds like that, that's by the wayside, hard, calloused hearts. And some people you give the seed to, that's what it's like. It's hard, calloused hearts. Let me remind you, remind the people that we're teaching on Sunday, it's not our responsibility to test the soil. It's just our responsibility to faithfully give out the seed. The second place Christ talks about, you see in verse 20 and 21, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, that's quickly or immediately, with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And this is the second soil. It's the stony place. Now, it's not rock area. It's a place where there's just a thin layer of soil over hardened ground or over stony places. And these receive it with joy immediately at first, but they're soon turned away. They have shallow soil, no root, no chance for a root system to firmly get entrenched so that when difficulties come and persecutions come, then they'll keep following Christ. This is such a problem. This is why churches, these easy, no-commitment Christianity type places don't work, because there's no root there, no soil. And when tough times come, the wind blows and people are blown off course. That's the stony places Christ talks about here. Thirdly, we see among the thorns, verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the world, and he becometh unfruitful. That's the crowded heart, the thorns, things crowded out. Now notice here, Christ mentioned two things specifically. Number one, the care of this world. Some people just care too much for this world. I think I've quoted this verse many times as the cares of this world, but that's not what Christ said. He said the care of this world. And the second thing he mentioned is the deceitfulness of riches. The care of this world and deceitfulness of riches. And things crowded out. I'm thinking of a man I spoke to just this week in our Sunday school class. He's missed a couple of weeks, and I saw him this week, had the opportunity to speak to him. I said, man, we've missed you. And he said, things keep coming up. Well, what's happened? It's getting crowded out. Christ is getting crowded out. Christ said, and some of this seed, hits the soil in the thorny places, and the thorns crowd it out. And Christ mentioned specifically these two things, care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Talk to your people frankly about paying the tithe that's owed to the Lord. That's God's way to take care of the local church. Giving offerings and many special things to be done. But encourage people on that line. It's not so the church can get rich. I don't know any churches that are rich. It's because God's promised to bless people who follow his pattern. And Christ says, as the seed falls into among the thorns, some things just choke it out and crowd it out. And then finally, we see the good ground in verse 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. That's the good ground. Now, you want to take time. You'll see this in your reading material. You'll want to take time to turn to Mark chapter 4 and to Luke chapter 8, the other two places in the Gospels where this parable is recorded, because Christ gives us two other things. Here in Matthew, we see this good ground. The characteristics of this good ground is someone that hears the word and understands it and then bears fruit. Then you see in Mark chapter 4 and in verse 20, as Christ is talking, as Mark's recording this parable, and these are they which are sown on good ground. Now, here's the good ground again. Now, watch. Here's another characteristic. Such as hear the word and receive it. So, Matthew gives us the characteristic of understanding. Mark gives us the characteristic of those who hear the word and receive it. And then in Luke, the 8th chapter and the 15th verse, we see the third characteristic. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Three important characteristics there of good ground. And drive that home with your folks this Sunday. And we want good ground. We want the soil to fall on good ground. Now, Christ says, look, all the seed that's sown is not going to fall on good ground. There's going to be some that falls in these other places. But our job is to sow the seed, sow it faithfully, and then pray. Now, what about my own personal life? You see the question up here at the top of the page. What kind of heart do you have? I wrote right over mine, what kind of heart do I have? See, I need a soft heart. I need good ground, fertile ground, so that when the seed of God's word hits my life, then it can take root and it can bear fruit. And as I hear the word and understand and receive and keep God's word, then I can bear fruit as a Christian. And that's what we want for all the folks in our Sunday school class this Sunday. So how's the soil of my heart? That's what you want them to see. How's the soil of their heart? Ask them, how is the soil? May this encourage us. The parable of the sower, and this first of seven kingdom parables in Matthew 13. And it'll be a great encouragement. Now, pray for your class this Sunday. Don't forget, please, to encourage your people to see the questions on the back of the Sunday school lesson as they prepare for the next week's lesson, the wheat and the tares. And God will do a great thing. We're praying for our Sunday school class this Sunday, praying that the Lord will help us. Help us to get people. Remember, Sunday school is reaching people and teaching people. The teaching takes place Sunday morning, but the reaching's got to take place through the week. So let's be faithful to get a hold of our folks this week and get them in Sunday school so they can be encouraged by God's word. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for this parable that you've given us, the parable of the sower this week. And I pray that you'll help us to be faithful. Help us as we prepare. Help us to reach people, get them into our Sunday school classes, so that they can be encouraged by your word. Now, bless this entire series, and we start out here in Matthew chapter 13 this week. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.